This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
And we are live, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show found here on the island of Long, as in Long Island, for those of you who don't speak in hyperbole, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. And Chris, how are you today?
Doing well, Ray. I'm very excited today. We have a spectacular show in store. This is going to be world record good stuff all around. And please tell us why.
Yes, because we have, you know, we had our good friend Stevie Maggs on a couple weeks ago, and we're sticking with what I call, even though Steve is here with us on the East Coast, I'm going to call it our West Coast theme. But it is Mopar Mouth Radio once again, because we have with us the darling of Dodge, the cutie of Chrysler, and the minx of Mopar, Alana Scher from California. How are you, Alana?
I might put all that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, hey, feel free. Feel free. But yes, we of course have, we've always had a good time when you come on the show. People love to hear what you have to say. Our audience does like us, likes what you do. You and Tom, you know, you're putting up some videos now, which is great. We're enjoying those. And again, it's just sharing the knowledge and sharing that Mopar. I mean, that's your personal bent, but you delve into other stuff. So, that's kind of what we do. We're not one trick ponies here, by any means.
Alana, so, how did you get into the videos? I mean, what sparked that idea?
Oh, the videos that Tom and I are doing. So we're doing those on YouTube, under the Challenge Her name, which is the same as my Instagram and other social media names.
I love it. Yeah, Challenge Her.
It was Tom's idea, really, because I do video for work, where I do the new car review stuff for Edmunds.com and their YouTube channel. And he's like, we're doing stuff here with all the old cars. Why don't we just video it and put it up and see if anybody wants to watch it? And I was like, oh, that sounds a lot like work, but doing it. And it's been fun, cause it's, we're just getting to show off the cars that we have. We've got a couple where friends have got new cars and let us do like a little walk around or a little drive. And they're just, they're short. Neither one of us is experienced editors. That's the hardest part. Being on camera is way easier.
Yes. So
most of them are sort of a one take or in camera edits, and they're very, let's say, authentic.
Yes. Yeah, authentic, grassroots, true to form, true to life. We were just speaking about that before the show, how what you do in your shop, in your home shop, is the way a lot of other people work. You know, they, we use tools out of their intended range sometimes. We need help from other people sometimes. I mean, we have animals running through the shop sometimes.
That Snap-on socket, isn't it? You're still mad that we use that Snap-on socket for some bushing, aren't you?
That's right. I have to say, I did call out Alana. I called out Tom, really, because he was using a press and he used a nice Snap-on socket as a spacer. Hey, you know what? Listen.
Wow.
You can do that. I mean, the Snap-on guy will actually replace it if you have a good relationship with him.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't see the video, I'm sure.
If it's the Snap-on one, it's not going to break. If you use the cheapy one, it's going to break. So,
Yeah. I think the thing that ticked me off most was It's just, it's envy. It's Tom envy. I mean, the guy could walk over to that gigantic industrial lathe and turn down the part and say, and now have it out of, you know, out of, regular tool steel. And instead of using the socket. So I guess it was more like tool envy on my part of the lathe.
Well, I'm sure he can hear you. He's in the other room somewhere pretending he can't hear you, so he doesn't have to pretend.
La 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 la.
See, it takes a real man to admit he has tool envy. I like yes, that, Ray.
It's, I do.
I always freely, respect an individual.
Yes, I freely admit that. So while we're talking about the Opel, I mean, that was a car that was that's been with you for a while, and now you're really digging into it, which is. That's how you know the project car is staying. You know, when you pull apart the hard stuff.
Well, yeah. It's actually more like you. That's when you know the daily driver's been dailied, because a couple of things that we did there were repeats of things that we did when I did first get that car, because I wore it out again. And then the next step was, oh yeah, the front end's garbage. We've got to do this. So
right.
So yeah, it was a pretty extensive GT work couple months, I think it took us to do everything on that car that we were working on.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah. This video is in stages, I'm assuming. This isn't just one day's worth of work.
No, it's not one day's worth of work. And that was, I think that video was just the front end, because we also did, we resealed the transmission. We changed the head gasket. It has this cam and head, the Opel GT engine. It's mm-hmm. very weird, and it's very hard to seal. It's not really a two-part, well, it was a two-part gasket, and so if you can imagine the fun of that, there's like a step, the head and the timing cover. Anyway, it's terrible.
Really?
Anyone who has an Opel was like, yep, that's terrible. So it was leaking pretty badly, so we got a new supposedly better kind of gasket that they just came out with. So hopefully that's going to keep all the oil on the inside.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny when you come across a job like that that's so unique and so difficult, and then you turn around and go, now I know why I never see these cars on the road anymore.
Well, it's true, because it's like, I mean, there are things I really like about working on the Opel, because especially for me, it's a smaller car, so the parts aren't very heavy. The bolts aren't very big. Most of them are things that I can do with only the small breaker bar. I don't need the big breaker bar. But there's also some real challenges, like the gas tank has multiple different vent tubes, and it's inside the back of the car. There's no trunk. It's like just in there, tucked in there. So you have to take the back of the back seat out, and then and where the spare tire is and the shelf, and then you can kind of get to the gas tank. Oh. And so we were working on that, replaced all of those. And, you know, just to put everything back in, just like a little bolt, which shouldn't be very difficult, but like you're kind of inside of a trunk. And I'm like, I'm having trouble doing it. And I'm like, how did a giant German do this back in the day? Like, I have no idea how they, did they like build this thing and then weld the back of the car on? And the really funny thing about it was we did that, we got everything done, take it for a test drive, and like it just reeks of fuel, like just really smells bad, like gas everywhere. We're like looking around, like, what, we just redid all this? And then I like, you know, we like look in like the one corner we hadn't looked, and it was like, oh, we just completely missed one line, so we had to we could get to that one by taking the taillight out. But it was really, it was pretty funny, because it was like, I do not want to do that again. Like, that would have been, it's like, okay, let's just sell the car.
Yeah, you know, Alana, there was a show on TV a few years ago, and I forget the name of it. It was based out in California. One of the guys, it was El Rey's Garage, and they were using an old repair shop off the freeway somewhere. They were down off on the surface street. And what the one guy would do, he was a personality. Every time they picked up a car to work on, to sell, he did what he called the danger drive. And I adopted that term and said, I coined it. I claimed to coin it out here. Like, yeah, going to do the danger drive. And that's when you take that car out for the first time, whether you just worked on it or just bought it. And you don't know what the brakes are going to do, what if the fuel's going to ignite on you, if the ignition's going to spark up, and you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the Danger Drive is quite the adventure, so we love those.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had quite a few in your repairs. I know I have. I mean,
yeah.
I totally have. And I must admit, I had forgotten for a moment, I am now part of your family of C-body Chryslers.
There you go.
Join me, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have. It's so funny because you're working on the Opel and we're talking about the obscurity of the vehicle. How have you noticed any of the same or similar types of obscurity on the Polara?
You know, not so much. I mean, one thing is just that because Tom and I do so many Chrysler products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every once in a while, there's something that's like a little bit weird. Like, for example, the back spark plug on a C-body 440 is so hard to get to. And you're like,
yes.
How is it harder to get to this spark plug in this giant car than it is to get to it in a Challenger, right? But
right.
It
yes.
is way harder. So there's like a couple of little things like that. Our Polara doesn't have the... dome light cover and it's like the same one as I think like a I don't know, it's like the same one as something expensive, so
oh really?
What, like an Imperial?
I can't even remember. It's like you wouldn't think that it would be a hard part to find, but the only right. other car that has it is something rare, so to like buy them is very expensive, so like there's a couple wow. of things like that, but for the most part, you know, it's all the same stuff. How about you? Have you found any weird things? I mean, the Chryslers are weirder because they're luxury cars.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I totally sympathize with you with that back plug because I've come to realize I've had that back plug in and out a couple of times, and it does not involve having any appendage on the floor of the garage. You got to be like literally in the car, like one foot's going one way, the other foot's going the other way, one arm is out here on the other fender, and you're trying to get that plug out. So I totally sympathize with you in that respect. But I have noticed there is a ton of things on this car that just, I got to back away and go, I had a TR6 that was easier to work on than this yeah. thing. And the latest grief I've had, and we've been boring our listeners with this for the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to put a power antenna in the car. Ilana, how hard is this? Because they mounted the antenna mast completely under the blower motor. And I stand back and go, how big is this car? This car is miles long, and they have to put the antenna directly above the blower motor. So in order to put a power antenna, I got to drill through the whole blower assembly and probably take out the vanes of the blower motor just to get a power antenna to go straight up at a 90 degree angle.
Chris is going to have heater core fins going up with the mast. So, you know, let me just interject here. Let me interject for a second and just say that people can see this stuff if they follow us on social media, which is Motor Mouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook, or Faccia Bruta, like we like to call it, and on Instagram, which is mine and Joe's favorite. It's real_MotorMouthRadio. And if you want to call and talk to Ilana, you can do that. You can use what's become our alternate number, which is 516-256-9510, and get in on the fun. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. so there is the one piece of weirdness.
I was going to say maybe just antenna delete. I mean, what, you know? Like, what do you need the antenna for? Just listen to the engine. You don't need a radio.
But just to put a clock in the car. I mean, I like to option my vehicles out. That's always been my bag. I always enjoy doing that. If the car didn't come with it, I always like to find the original part for it. But I've come to realize now you have your Polara is a 69. My Chrysler is a 69. For some ungodly reason, that is like the worst year since the 30s to get any parts for, to get any soft stuff for, meaning like armrests and seat covers and things like that. For some reason, the big cars, 1969, is like this lost orphan year. 68s are everywhere. 70s are everywhere. 69, I don't know. We're going to have to get back to you on that. I mean, that's the answer I get.
Why is that? Was there, well, did the body change in 70?
body changed in 69.
Compared in 69. To, oh, that's
yeah. Awesome. That's okay. When they went to the fuselage okay. style. 68 was
can't help you there, Bunky.
Yeah, exactly.
I triumph.
I mean, I'm surprised, Chris, that you're finding even the 68 or 70 stuff, because my experience, and I have done this, in fact, mm-hmm. There is a New Yorker that is on my conscience, but, you know, mm-hmm. like people just pulled all the engines out of the big cars and put them into yeah. smaller cars, and then they oh, junked yeah. the big cars. So, I mean, there mm-hmm. were, like, you know, sometimes I do think of all of the lovely 69 Polaris that must have just gotten crushed with like every dome light cover that I
right. yes.
bought.
In the- yes. That's
a great point. Steve has been showing that on Junkyard Gold. He's been going to a yard in Texas or Alabama that has all the Mopar stuff. And he's showing, you know, he'll the way he does it is great because he'll read the car and then say this car could have, you know, the 440 or kind of a Hemi, and you know, and then he'll look at the interior, and he always saves the engine bay for last, and when he goes and opens it, he goes, oh, this one's been sacrificed, someone probably took this 440 out and put it in, you know, something else. And he reiterates that all the time, and it's so true, you know. Same thing with the Chevys, all the big blocks are gone. He's got a nice Impala or a Caprice with a big block, great car to restore. No, the engine's long gone because somebody probably took it out and put it in a Camaro.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's just what we did. So
very true. But I also found that when you go to a junkyard, like you're looking for a part like that, you won't, if you don't find it in a catalog, which is rare, obviously, but you will find it in the salvage yard. So you call the salvage yard up and say, look, I'm looking for a 69 Dodge Polara, Dodge Monaco. And a lot of times they'll say, well, what do you need? No. I need the car. Well, like, what do you need? A door? Do you need the trunk lid? What do you need? You need an engine? No. I need the car. You've got to do this. And it's, you have this kind of roundy round conversation with people. And that's what I'm learning now with owning this vehicle, because when I owned the Triumph, it was a catalog car. I used to call them catalog cars where I needed a part. I opened up the Moss Motors catalog, went, oh, here it is. Let's just order it. I had my credit card number memorized. So it was easy. Call them up. They'd say, hi, Chris. How are you? I go, how you doing, Bob? I need the bumpity bap for the bumpity bap. And here's my card number. Oh, no worry. We have your card number, sir. It was the easiest conversation in the world, the easiest restoration in the world. But now I'm back in the junkyards again with this thing. Looking for dome lights.
with the Polara, I think the best thing is to find, you know, to find one of the online enthusiast groups, and then you can switch parts with actual people. I mean, that's how we got the seats, because we took the bench seat out of the Polara and put the like split bench.
Right.
Yeah. We got that from a friend. Like, I just mentioned that I was looking for one, and you know, this guy in Utah was like, oh, I have one. You know, I'll meet you in Vegas and you can just have it. So,
yeah. Wow. Alana, how, you know, one of the things you've done, one of the other, the video projects you do is Round the Block, which I happen to love. I mean, we get to see whatever, you know, what the aircraft of the day is that's passing over that parking lot. But, you know, you showcased Tom's Charger a while ago, and that's a gorgeous car. How long has he had that?
Oh, gosh. He's had it longer than he's had me, so more than he got that, I think maybe in late 90s, very late 90s.
Yeah, that is such a nice car.
What year is it?
69.
Oh, it's, ooh, great
year. It's a 69 RT. Originally, it was a silver car. It's black right now. And, funny story about that car is that when we first started dating, he was always, you know, trying to come up with activities for us, I think, because, you know, he didn't know what to do with me. He took me to the drag races out to, at the time it was LA County Raceway, LACR. And he let me drive the Charger on the drag strip. It was my first time ever driving anything on a drag strip. And I was completely hooked. So,
wow.
So that was kind of where it all started, that car.
Great. Yeah, I'd love to see more about that, because – you know, Tom has such an understated way of talking about stuff, and I want to know more. You know, like, I want to know those nuts and bolts and the little intricacies, because it's obviously that's a big part of him and a big part of the family now. So that's, and you know, so are your dogs. What are your dogs' names? A lot of people have asked that, and I said, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, so we are on our second round of dachshunds since I first met you, because the year before last year, we lost our old dachshund, Jim, who I think you guys had met on a previous show.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And we got puppies at the very beginning
right.
of the pandemic. So
right.
The puppies are Stan and Jerry. Stan is Pan. So one is a red dachshund, one is a black and tan dachshund. And then we've got the big hound dog, which is Bill.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's
I love these elaborate names. They're quite unique.
A lot of people in the industry use like car names. You know, they name the dogs after cars or car parts. And it's good to see like regular people names for dogs. That's
we've always sort of had the construction crew of dog names. But Stan and Jerry specifically are named after Tom's brothers. Which is not a memorial thing. They're fine. They're in good health. It's definitely a making fun of them thing. So,
Okay.
Yes. Now Tom can go into work at the drum shop and be like, oh yeah, Stan, you were bad today.
Yeah. That's funny.
That's hysterical.
That's cool stuff.
One of them poops on the rug. Then the brother gets a phone call.
Oh, you know, Alana, I have a question to ask you again about going back to Round the Block. When you did the video with your friend's 53 Dodge Coronet, that was the red Ram, right? The 6-volt red Ram. And you said the car had a clutch and a gyromatic transmission. You said you'd rev it up, dump the clutch, and then turn the tire. So explain to me a little more how that system works, because it really had me – I was thinking about, like, the VW hydro stick that they used to have back in the day. But
I mean, I can't explain it.
If
people watch the video, they will see it is impossible to explain. No one knows how it works. It is pure black magic. But it was, I believe, a one-year-only offering, early 50s. It was – a very early automatic transmission, but it was basically a manual transmission with a torque converter. So you need the clutch to start in first.
Right.
And then you need the clutch to change it from like low to high, which you do with like a stick on the tree. Mm-hmm. Or stick on the column.
Yeah.
But it will move itself from first to second, and then from second to third.
It's
and
like voodoo.
That is very confusing, but it basically is like you kind of only need the clutch to get it started.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, like a hydro stick, the old hydro stick.
Right. Yeah.
Feeble attempt at an automatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very weird. I very much recommend looking up people trying to explain it, because it's hilarious. Nobody can explain it very well. I don't think anyone knows how it works.
Yeah, that was an interesting vehicle, and you found stuff out about it after you got out of it, which I thought was pretty funny. Okay. That was just something I wanted to clear up, because I wasn't sure.
So it was a 53 Dodge Ram. How did you acquire it, Alana? I mean, what is it, a friend's car? Is it?
Yeah, it's a friend's car. So it's a Coronet, Coronet Red Ram. So a Hemi, Hemi sedan.
All original, too, which was cool.
Very cool. He used it as a daily driver for a long time. Like, pretty fun little car. Very, you know, it's a weird one. You don't see them that often. It's like not the. You know, it's not like an era that's like super stylish, I guess.
Right.
You know, like, I think it's very cool, but it's not like the glamorous late 50s, and it's not like the cool hot rod 40s or even like 1950s.
Yeah, it's that interim period.
Yeah.
Kind of roundish and rusty and crusty, but that's the beauty of it. With a generator, it's still an original vehicle that you can cruise around with.
They're called the K.T. Keller cars. They're the ones. K.T. Keller was the president of Chrysler at the time, and he wanted a car that a gentleman could wear his hat in,
Right.
And therefore they were just these box on box type of vehicles. And yeah, they weren't stylish, but boy, you had the Hemi in them on some of the good, on a lot of the good ones.
It reminded me of a friend's car I was contracted to work on years ago. It was a DeSoto with the Fire Dome Hemi, the same kind of setup with a big Hemi with a little two barrel on it and all original. And it was, and once I got that thing running, boy, it purred like a kitten. It just ran so well.
It was like really fun to drive. I enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah. And that's sort of what we've been doing with the round the block videos, is just getting in a car, whether it's one of ours or a friend's, and just driving it around the block. Cause it's, right. You know, it's kind of like when a friend comes over and they've just bought a new project and they're like, yeah, hop in it. You know, you just take it around the block, right? Like, you're not going to do a big road trip in your buddy's new car. It's fun to get to say, like, oh, man, I drove an 85 Corvette the other day.
Right. Yeah, take it for a blast. A little blast around the neighborhood, right.
No, it's true. And then I'm sure, like, when you're in the car, you're, like, looking at everything on the dash and what this does, what that does.
I got to say, again, for me, one of the favorite – my favorite parts of those videos is Tom's reaction as Ilana is driving and Tom is wielding the camera, because it just – it's hilarious. It really is. But it's something we would all do. You know, put my wife in the driver's seat, make me video. I'd be doing the same damn things. Like, hey, slow down now. What are you doing? Take it easy.
You know? Yeah, he thinks I'm a hoodlum.
What's that, Alana? I'm sorry.
I said he thinks I'm a hoodlum.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's hysterical. Why does he think you're a hoodlum? Why? Do we know? Is there anything we need to know about your driving ability? What is that?
Actually, if I'm correct in this video, isn't Tom's Charger across the street somewhere?
I think we drive by it when we leave.
Yeah, and I thought we caught it in a late. Oh yeah, he did a map. He put the headliner. He did as a map with Route 66.
How many other radio shows are we actually watching your videos as we're conducting an interview?
I bet it's fun. Super fun for everybody listening.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Right, that's the truth.
Oh, we'll make them go and find your channel and watch the and watch it for themselves. That's what we hope it'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, look how much fun we're having watching it, and we've all seen it before.
We did it, yeah. It's like the hog hair and K-pop interiors. That's that stuff was just, I don't know what the heck they got that interior the seat stuffing from, but it looks
like horse hair, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
But those videos have been a lot of fun. You know, Tom and I've been working on a bunch of stuff. We finally got the 81 Trans Am smog legal and registered, and I've been driving it.
Nice.
Really? That was the car that you went and picked up last week, right?
That's a whole another story. The Trans Am I got last summer, I think.
Oh.
Or before, but it's taken us a long time to get it running because it's an 81 Turbo Trans Am. So there isn't, you were talking about like cars where it's very difficult to get any of the parts for them.
Oh yeah. I'm sure this has got to be an 81.
Well, I mean, the only thing,
Turbo
that,
TA.
Really, the only things that are hard is on the turbo system. The rest of the car and everything is all Pontiac, but the 301 also was a kind of an orphaned engine, even among Pontiac fans.
So, what trouble have you had acquiring parts for it?
Well, I mean, it's just like things like, all right, there's this pod on the hood that is where the turbo boost gauge is, and the boost, a series of three lights that like light up as you, build boost, get on the throttle. It's very cool.
I remember there's one orange light that says normal.
Yes, it makes me laugh every time. But the way that thing worked stock is with a like resistor wire. So which is like a kind of, it's like wire wrapped in thinner wire and it has like a certain resistance at which point it's overpowered and it lights it. Anyway, you can't buy that stuff. Like couldn't find anywhere else where it was used. And then it's also like, how do you even know how to measure it? Because you can't really tell what, like ours was all burnt up. Luckily there is a guy, named Joe, TTA Performance, and he makes a retrofit LED kit with normal wiring. And so that is what we ended up using. But we wanted, originally I wanted to make it work with the stock stuff because the lights are a little bit different and like really looks cool. But it just, I'm sure someone could do it, but it was one of those things where it's like, is this what we spend the rest of the year on, or do we do we get this done and move on to the next challenge? You know, things like that.
I always say of things like that, there's some retired GM line mechanic or, you know, factory worker. He's got a spool of that stuff in his garage somewhere.
Probably, yes.
You know?
Well, here's a funny thing talking about retired GM engineers. I wanted to know more about the Trans Am, and so I recently tracked down three different Pontiac engineers and the designer for the Trans Am and did interviews. In fact, my next Car and Driver column is about that, so if you get Car and Driver, you'll be seeing it. But they all were like, oh, yeah, the 81. Oh, man, that was a really hard car. Oh, yeah, that car was very difficult. That was a hard car to get through. Oh, you got it to pass smog? That's amazing.
Yeah, we couldn't do that when it was new.
Well, that was kind of, you know, I mean, it was super fun to talk to them. I learned a lot, but it definitely wasn't like, they weren't going like, oh, yeah, you know, we kept a bunch of parts from that. And we loved it. It was more like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was the hardest, you know, 4 years of our lives. Like, kind of.
You want to hear the guy say, listen, I've got crates of this stuff at my house. I want to get rid of it. Will you take it from me, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else that people don't want to hear. And that's that we're at the bottom of the hour. We need to take our break to reestablish and pay some bills. So Alana, stay with us. And when we come back, you can call at 516-256-9510. But Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Of course we do, Ray. We do. The honor group of the hour today is if you helped your neighbor fix their car. That's right. Go over to your neighbor and cheer. I helped you fix your car. I'm part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And they'll say, I helped you fix your car. And I'm part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And then you'll both hug. Maybe none of you. We're not going to do that. Not this way. Not during the pandemic. And oh, maybe you'll both high five. Yeah, I wouldn't want to touch anybody right now. Oh, maybe you'll both fist bump. Yeah, I don't know if I can get up the nerve to do that either. But if you helped your neighbor fix their car, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Send them a text and wave at them from your driveway. And nice. There you go.
Excellent, Chris. Thank you for that. And with that, we will take our break. We'll be back just in a couple of minutes. Alana, I think we have a call coming in that someone wants to speak with you. So keep it where you got it. Motormouth Radio, Ray and Chris with Alana. And we'll be back with more in a few minutes on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com. All right, thanks for hanging on. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer with our guest, Alana Scher, from out in the West Coast today. We are back, and again, we're talking off air about, I lost track of where we are. We're talking about Alana's project.
Alana, I just wanted to ask you real fast. You had sent something on Facebook about your seats, that you were looking for a comment on a good seat. What car was that for?
Well, actually, it's not for me. I'm not putting seats in anything. I'm considering writing something about seats because I've seen all these new cars. And, I mean, you can get like an 18-way adjustable seat that like heats and cools and
stuff. Sure.
Right. And I've been trying to figure out like, is that better, or does it just mean that there are like 17 more ways of being uncomfortable? Should we, you know, everyone's always talking about how their back hurts when they get out of cars, and yeah. I'm just sort of curious as to whether or not people have found cars that they think are comfortable or that they think are specific, are like spectacularly uncomfortable. And I know that there are safety rules, government regulations that have changed about crash testing that affect how soft a seat can be. For example, you know, the kind of seats that you could have got in a Chrysler.
Yeah.
Like the big couch, you know, you can't get that anymore. So
exactly.
I was just curious, you know, I mean, I feel like with Facebook, what do you use it for other than just kind of letting people tell you about themselves?
You have a call, Chris?
Yes. Let's grab the phones. Let's go to the phones. Go to the fun. Say hi. You're on with the Motormouths and Alana Cher.
I also have a 69, but it's a Chevy. Will you please accept this call?
Yes, Billy Velvet. How are you, my brother?
Hi. How's everybody? Alana, how are you, my dear?
It's great to hear your voice. How are you doing? We will accept the large.
I'm well.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's been a long time. How's everybody? And I appreciate. Wow, I feel honored in a way. Did you name the dog after me?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to think. No, I think we had him first.
Right.
Okay. Nice.
Maybe nice. I named you after him.
I just wanted to chime in and send my regards. Staying on top of what you're doing out there is tremendous. I wish you continued success. And, you know, you come east again, we'll figure something out. It's a changing world over here, though. But, you know, we're still hanging tough.
Yeah. Well,
the boys will tell you that.
I'm glad everybody's still standing, and I can't wait till we're all car showing and street racing again.
Right. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I just wanted to.
No, thank you. On seats, I just want to interject that, you know, Pro Car and Scat make some great, and Scat is the actual company that makes crankshafts. They bought the seat line maybe they bought Pro Car or and then there's Sparco too. Another great line they have like custom seats that fit into VWs and sports cars. They have a line for muscle cars, they have a line for like pro touring, you know, with all the bolstering and the high back. So and the prices, I mean, people say, yeah, the prices aren't bad. They're all, you know, listen, you're going to spend a few bucks, but they're good seats, very well made from what I've seen.
So. Well, I mean, your seat has an important job in your car. I mean, first of all, it's kind of the main line of defense in a crash. And then also you're literally touching it the entire time you're driving.
Exactly. But,
you know, it's funny because when you had mentioned seats, and I'm sure Billy can attest to this too, because I remember having the Caddy DeVille, and we would take the seat, and of course it was a bench seat, and it was the pleated leather, and then we would take it and armor all it, really make it terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So go to make a right hand turn, go to make a left hand turn, you go sliding across the seat.
You guys all have
several cars. Which are your Which of your cars has the best seating? Because I would say of everything that we own currently, my favorite is the Trans Am, and Tom's favorite is the 78 Dodge.
The 78 Dodge?
78 Dodge.
The Econoline van or the Ram van?
Is that a Cordoba? Is that the Cordoba?
No, but he is currently about to buy a 78 Monaco.
Monaco,
right.
Okay. Wow.
It's like a police car.
The police car, yeah.
Oh, so that's not the tufted vinyl. That's the upscale version. No.
Right. Yeah, that's the pleather.
Wow. We all like something different, you know? I mean, that's very true. We all like different stuff. Like my Fiat has two very nice looking bucket seats, but I can only drive in that. When I'm in that car all day, I get out and I'm kind of crippled. And I would never take it on a long trip. Because you call it the Italian seating position. You need to, they put your feet far away from the pedals and you have to reach really far on the steering wheel. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. So,
I don't know. I'm kind of partial because I have speaking of police cars, I have an old decommissioned Ford Explorer. And it really has to be the best bucket seat that I've ever experienced. And it's fine. There's no wheels, bells or whistles on it. It's just a basic bucket seat. And I guess I have a basic butt. It's just fine. Right. Go ahead, Billy.
I was out early this morning. A lot of get a kick out of it. I was out early this morning. I had the Nova out. You know, it's like 17 degrees. And I'm at the I'm out getting a cup of coffee, and there's a couple old timers, and they're walking around in the cars. I'm inside, and I come outside, and he says, "Geez, son," he said, "I see you're all set for the snowstorm." He said, "But I don't think you got too much meat left on those tires.
Oh,
I got the
speed slicks.
Slicks on the Nova."
Yeah. Right.
You were running streets. You were running street slicks in 17-degree weather. You're a better man than me, William.
it's nice. I mean, there's just the look of them with the red wheels, especially. You know,
wow.
Like down just, display. Yeah.
You tell them, no, I'm going to go home now.
I just played along.
Yeah, play along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are good. Yeah. Yeah. But I just wanted to chime in. I wanted to send my best to Alana. Okay. And of course, you two boys, the Dynamite Show as always. And
thanks, Bill.
We'll be in touch.
We'll do.
Yes.
Okay. Take care, Alana. All the best.
Yes.
All right, Bill.
All right.
Bye bye, Billy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Absolutely. Bye bye.
516-256-9510. That's the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio if you'd like to talk to Alana Scher.
And a lot of you teased us with the with one of the latest car things. The name Scott Harvey passed by, and you got my interest. What the heck is up with that project?
Well, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but you know, out in California, people call me up and they're like, "Hey, you know, how far are you from Lake Elsinore? Mm-hmm. I don't know, 90 miles. Can you pick up a car for me?"
Nice.
So a friend of mine calls me. He says, "I bought two cars. Can you go get them?" And of course, like it starts out where it's like, just drive them back. And then you talk to the guy who's got the cars a little more. And you're like, all right, well, one of them needs to be towed. Like, mm-hmm, not gonna
right.
make it. You know, he's like, "Oh, it just needs tires." It's like, you get there, you're like, "Oh yeah, this would not have been a 90-miler." But so we actually borrowed a truck from a press truck. So we got that new Hellcat TRX Ram.
Yeah.
And, you know, attached a trailer to it. So didn't even know that there was a trailer attached to it.
Nice.
700 horsepower truck. Went down there and picked up these two cars. One of them was a Ram Charger. Actually, it was a Plymouth Trail Duster, which is the Plymouth version of the Ram Charger, but it had already been rebadged as a Ram Charger.
Wow.
And the other one was a Barracuda. I believe it's a 67 Formula S.
Yeah.
And so they're cool already, right? Cool cars already. But they're even cooler because they both belonged to a man named Scott Harvey. He's still alive. Who was a Chrysler-backed rally racer in the 60s and 70s.
Impressive.
And, you know, and he won some races. You know, a lot of people don't know that there was an American rally racing scene, but there was, and they did some pretty cool stuff. I mean, Scott did, it's like a 4,000-mile rally across Canada.
Yeah.
So these were both his cars. They came with a lot of paperwork, you know, pink slips that have Scott's name on them. The CUDA has an old rally computer in the glove box. And so it was cool. So I drove the CUDA back to our place. Tom drove the Ram Charger on the truck. And then we put them on a big transport and sent them out to Michigan, actually, where they're going to be restored and then hopefully raced again. So, but it was very, very cool. If you look up Scott Harvey, you will find a lot of neat photos of cars that you wouldn't expect doing rally stuff, including some big Chryslers earlier in the 60s. Yeah. And there's a great video on YouTube of the Trans-American, I think is what the race is. Anyway, of that big 4,000-mile Canada race, there's a great video that they made in 68, I think. And I very much recommend watching it. It is very cool.
Nice.
And it's all pony cars, right? It's all like CUDAs, Camaros, Mustangs. 68.
That was the birth.
It's pony cars, but it's also a bunch of European cars. So I think there's like a Jag and Bob and Volkswagens and
There could be an MG. You could have a an Alpha. It could be anything.
A 911. I think there's a guy in a 911. So
sure,
it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
That's a cool project. Those are cool calls when they come in. You always got to think of like, what am I going to get myself into? I don't want to have any part of this. Oh, but I got to do it.
Right. Right. Do you have to pull them out of a lake?
To drive a rally CUDA, home 100 miles. Like, I'm not going to say no.
If I saw the one picture, I don't think that was B5 blue. Is it like B7 blue? Maybe it looked a little lighter.
It was closer to like petty blue, but I don't think it was a nicer color at all. I think.
Okay. All right. Good. I was curious what color that might have been, but.
Okay. How was it to drive the car all that distance, that 90 miles?
Totally fine. I mean, I don't know the history of the car. I don't know which car it is, what had happened in the meantime, it drove fine. Like, I didn't have a single problem with it. It had a very loud, mechanical fuel pump. And I was definitely cautious with it because nobody had really been driving it in quite some time. But I didn't have any problem. It was fine on the freeway, just kind of stayed in the slow lane, revs at like 4,000 RPM. But like, I'm used to that. That's how my
car. Alana, Bill asked if you still have the Landy hauler. He forgot to ask you that question. The transporter.
Yeah, we do have the Landy hauler. I think I say this every time we talk.
I know.
We are making progress on it slowly. Tom, in fact, just was researching extruded aluminum. Which is a thing you have to do if you're going to build a ramp truck, because those ramp bodies in the back are made of extruded aluminum beams.
Yeah.
Have wood over them. So, and aluminum sheeting. So that's.
It's a popular of the crowd. Everybody loves stuff like that. We all do. We do. And I know our listeners do too. It's great.
Yeah. Stuff. If that was running, we could have just gone and picked up the ramp charger on that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
How long have you had it now? You've had it now over 2 years, I think.
Oh, more than that.
No, 2 years, 3 years?
We've had it since I was at Hot Rod, so that's like 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a while.
Holy, my span of time is completely gone.
We were in the studio when Alana got that. That's
because I remember talking about it when you had picked it up, the Dick Landy hauler.
It's a good thing you have space. And on that topic, I was curious, Alana, whatever happened to all of that stuff that you guys got that you were going to auction off, all the tools and all? How did that project ever work out for you?
Actually, it worked out great. We found homes for a great majority of the stuff. We've got a couple of plastic bins that we're waiting for the for things to open up as soon as there's a swap meet, we'll have like a $5 what you want kind of thing to get rid of some of the rest of it. But we made the money back from buying it. Excellent. And then made some more, and then we've got a bunch of tools that have been useful to us, and it's been fine. It's been there's a couple of things still that were,
I was trying to look behind the video, which, like I always do with the Opel, and thinking, what corner did Tom throw that stuff in now? Like, I know it's got to be here somewhere. I'm looking.
We did a pretty good job. There isn't too much. There isn't too much that's taken up space. So
good.
It was a worthwhile thing to do. It helped out Tim's family, and it was kind of a fun adventure for us.
Right. Alana, if you will, we're getting close to the end of the show. We're going to have to wrap in a while, but throw out all the information, how people can find you and the projects that you're doing on all your platforms. Let's do that now so we don't forget to do it.
Okay. I'll try and do it fast. We'll get everything in. I am writing a monthly column for Car and Driver. I'm a regular contributor to the New Road and Track. I do an interview series for Sports Car Market. I occasionally write stuff for Hemmings Online. I do new car review for Edmunds Video on the Edmunds YouTube channel. And Tom and I have a channel on YouTube called Challenge Her, which is also the Instagram account where you can see what we're working on.
Right. Excellent. Very good. Thank you. I just wanted to get that out of the and you know what? Since I put you on the spot earlier and asked you, how about that drop for Motor Mouth Radio? I'm sure you've been thinking about that the whole show.
Oh, yeah.
But if not, that's okay. We can.
No, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. On 3, 2, 1. Go.
I'm Alana Scher, and I think you should listen to Motor Mouth Radio.
Excellent.
awesome.
That we actually call a bump. That'd be like more of a bump, or it's not a line. That's a little bit of a bump. Cool. We'll
You want more? You want something else? Tell me what you said.
Oh, if you want, you know, I don't know. It's what do you think, Chris? You're the expert in that field.
Oh no, it's that is just fine. I always feel like something like that is always good. When it's short and sweet, it's great. When it's long and drawn out, it's fine too. It's
yeah.
You know, if you want to try it again, go right ahead. We're
not,
all
not
ears.
I'm overthinking it. Let's you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Yeah. That's always.
That's when people get into trouble, when they overthink it. Exactly. You know, we had Antonio Fargas in the studio a number of years ago. Huggy Bear, right? From Starsky and Hutch. And he's such an eloquent, you know, flowing, free kind of guy. We asked him to do one, and he just went into the Huggy Bear mode and just – we sat back with our mouths open like, wow, this guy is – talk about professional.
Yeah, way to make me feel more comfortable.
No, I'm not saying, no, believe me, I wasn't prepared. I was just saying that was we've kind of seen it all, so it's cool. But
you know what is funny, Alana, because what I try and do whenever I have the time, usually it takes a couple of months, but I put together a promo, and the promo is all of our guests, and I always find a little snippet or something like that. And what you just said is, oh yeah, way to make me comfortable. That's going right in the promo.
what you didn't think you were saying to be official becomes official. But that's the way we run.
So in a couple of months, if you listen to the show at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear the promo, and it'll be a whole collection.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that does get incorporated, I'll send it to you. It's just an audio clip that I can email. So I'll send it to you so you can hear it for yourself. That's
we're trying to do a unique spin on this show every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh man!
Because so what's coming up in the future, Alana? Anything? I mean, the Trans Am's in good shape. The Opal is back, pretty much back on the road. What's any things you can tip us off at that we could expect to see from the West Coast camp?
Well, I mean, you know, as soon as I say that things are running well, something's gonna break. So.
Oh, I know. Don't say that. Yeah, we don't do that.
Something coming
exactly.
Up. But no, I'm just getting ready to sort of jump into a new year. Hopefully there will be some events. I'm going to maybe do some off-road dune driving training next weekend, which I'm excited about.
Cool. That sounds like fun.
You know, it's a great thing to do during this time period because you're outside, you're in your own car. So, you know, you can go off-roading with a group of people and still sort of have your own space.
Now, where do you do that by you? I mean, like, you know, where are you going to go to do that?
Well, I'm going to go down to Glamis, which is about 3 hours away down by San Diego.
Okay.
Big sand dunes, Imperial sand dunes.
Got it. Okay. Good. That's a nice drive, too.
Four, five
down to San Diego. I've done that. Yeah.
I just like the fact that you said, if I say the cars are all running well, that something's going to break. Thank you for being as superstitious as we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we do the same thing. I never can say my car is running well because you know what's going to happen. The second you go, car's running great, no problem. Boom.
Now, we've kind of taken the attitude of like someone says, hey, how's the car run? It's a piece of crap.
Right.
Any minute. Yeah.
That's the John Force approach, right? He always called his race car this old heap.
Yeah.
Right? You know, superstitious. But what's funny is that last week, a friend of mine is a photographer calls me and he's like, hey, this is super last minute, but I'm doing a shoot for a band album. They were supposed to have a classic car and their car fell through. Can I borrow your Dodge, the Polara? And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, normally I'm fussier about it, but I know this guy, trust him. So he comes over and he's like, you know what, I can just leave my car and take it, then you don't have to sit around on this set while we're shooting. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So he comes over and I'm like thinking like, all right, you know, like, what do I have to tell him about the Polara? Because, you know, you're always like, oh yeah, sure, it's no problem, it's totally normal. Oh, except you can't put the window down with the door open because it's sick, and like, if you do this, then like, it just won't start again. You know, the Polara is pretty good because I think the only things I had to tell him were the key is on the left side.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's teeth up because it's a crank.
priceless.
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I chipped the right side of the dash on the the 300 because I'll go with it with the key and I'm like, oh, wrong side.
I thought I was unique because my 65 Pontiac has a left side key. And I always wondered, you know, everybody's like, where the hell do you put the key? Now it's over on the left. And
I did not know that 65 Pontiac had one. I knew that, I think, Ford trucks and then obviously Porsche 911.
Yeah, the A-body. Yeah. It's the A-body, you know, that does that. And I don't know why, because the other GM A-bodies were on the right. Pontiac put it on the left. I don't know why. So, but I'll tell you what, we are out of time. We got to run, Alana. We thank you for coming on with us as always, and we'll keep in touch and tap you again for some more great radio.
Yes.
And, all right. Well, I will. I'll practice my promos.
Okay. You can always email me one. That's fine. You can record it and send it. So with that, we got to sign off for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, and Alana Scher, giving us a great hour of radio. This is Motor Mouth Radio, and we'll be back again next week. We don't know if we'll have a guest, but if not, we'll wing it on 90.3 WHPC. Chris, what do you always say?
Don't follow us home and listen to Alana Scher.
Right. See ya.